Welcome to After the Collapse, a show dedicated to exploring the relationship between economic exploitation and social injustice. I'm Louis Moroni with Jim Vernon. Today we are talking to Hugo Bonnat, and Hugo is a spokesperson for CLASS, one of the three main student unions in Quebec. He was studying at Concordia University and is now a student at York U. CLASS is one of the central mobilizing forces in the Quebec student movement, which garnered unprecedented support across the province this past spring and summer. And we're delighted to be speaking with Hugo in the wake of the Parti Québécois' defeat of Jean Charest's Liberals in Quebec. Welcome to the program. Hi.
Thank you.
So we thought, Hugo, you could start off just by telling us a bit about your background. It'd be interested to know what you're studying and what led you to do the work that you're doing in CLASS.
Okay, well, I was a student in political science at UQAM, which is one of the universities in Quebec, in Montreal. And I got involved in the student movement during my BA there. And I was elected as the information committee in last year, actually. And last year I was also studying women's studies at Concordia, and now I'm starting my master's degree in political science at York University.
And where are you from originally?
Oh, I'm from Gatineau.
Okay, so maybe you can tell us a little bit about how CLASS evolved out of and since the inception of the student mobilization in 2011?
Okay. Well, CLASS is actually a temporary coalition, if you want. In the normal time in Quebec, in the Quebec Students' Movement, it's ASSE, which is one of the main student union in Quebec. ASSE was founded in 2001 after the Quebec summit, and has been involved in various struggles in Quebec and across the globe on the issue of education. And when the Liberal government announced the tuition hike in 2010, ASSE decided to create a larger coalition for other students' unions to join in and fight this tuition hike. So what happened is that last December, so in 2011, December 2011, CLASS was officially created, and a lot of student union across the province in universities and the CEGEPs joined CLASS. ASSE memberships is around 50,000 students, but with CLASS, it almost doubled to around 90,000, 100,000 students.
So, and for context, because a lot of this tends to be a question that comes up, what is the main argument against the tuition hikes?
Okay, so maybe, sorry, I didn't do that, but to provide a little context, tuition hike in Quebec are the lowest in the country, and that's the result of several things, one of them being that the previous governments in Quebec have made the decision to freeze tuition in order to maintain higher education accessible. Tuition is around 2,500 a year in Quebec. And with the increase proposed by the Liberals in 2010, it was an increase of $1,600, so around 75% over the next 5 years. And the student movement in Quebec reacted and opposed this tuition hike, and a lot of people in Quebec tuition hike, basically because the idea is that by increasing tuition hike, you make higher education less accessible, and especially for people from lower socioeconomic backgrounds. And that's one thing you can see in the directly when you look at the numbers in Quebec. One thing, for example, is that there's more students from lower economic backgrounds in programs like medicine, law, engineering, and overall in enrolled in universities in Quebec than in the rest of Canada. And another thing, for example, is the fact that with this low tuition and the fact that there is in Quebec something called CEGEPs, which are mandatory colleges between high school and university, and which are free. With those cégeps and the low tuition, Quebec has a post-secondary frequency rate that's 9% above the Canadian average. So we have more students in class, actually.
And a large part of this is giving students the opportunity to get better jobs.
Well, not especially. From our point of view, for class, the idea is that education is basically a right and should be accessible to anybody, and that tuition is actually a barrier to accessing higher education. So, and it doesn't really matter, well, to us as an organization, whether you want to study in engineering to have a job in that field, or you want to study fine arts. The point is not about having a job and making the economy work. That's, I think, some people see it that way. But for us, the idea is really that education is a right and should be accessible and eventually free.
And so what's the value of that education outside of the job that it can get you?
Well, it's the idea that education is not only about what it gives you afterwards on the job market, but more about what you learn and what you can, how you can grow from with that education as a person and as a citizen in a way. So basically, I think one of the for class really the one of the main how we see education is the fact that it should create a self-critical citizen and not only workers, really people that will, through the education they're giving, begin to question whatever comes up in their lives.
And I know Jim really wants to ask a question, and he's aching to. I have one more just follow-up here. In the context of education and in light of what everybody always points to now, the economic situation, and the argument that in these harder times, we need to be tightening our belts and making sacrifices. What do you say to that?
Well, class has proposed several alternative solutions to raising tuition. For example, in these hard times, doesn't apply to everybody to everyone at the same weight, I could say. For example, in 2007, the Liberals, the Charest Liberals, abolished the tax on capital gains, which is basically a tax that benefits mostly wealthy people. And by reestablishing this tax, which was at 0.5%, which is pretty low, we could manage to have free education in Quebec, for example. So that we put forward some kind of measures like that. For example, another example that comes to my mind is the fact that in the 90s, we had 10 different tax brackets in Quebec. Now we're down only to 3. By restoring those 10 tax brackets, we could actually have some revenue around $1 billion, and 80% of the population in Quebec would pay less taxes. So we are really trying to say that putting forward the idea that fiscal taxation should be progressive, and that the people who have more should pay more, and the people who have less should pay less or nothing.
On that, with class's goal, at least one of their main goals, essentially being the establishment of free education, I'm wondering if you could tell us about the tactics that allowed the successful mobilization of the movement beyond the university in Quebec. Different political cultures aside, in Ontario, for example, we've had far greater attacks on higher education with far less response. And it continues even this week. The education minister suggested that there would be a return to 3-year BAs as the norm, and higher tuition and more online education as opposed to classroom education, and essentially met with a whimper. And so I'm wondering if you have any thoughts on how one how class and other student movements have managed to move the debate beyond the university to the wider public?
It's a good question. It's a pretty complicated question. I think so. You talked a little. There's a culture of mobilization in the Quebec student movement. One of the reasons I think why we have low tuition is because a lot of students fought before us to maintain this low tuition. So there's a culture of mobilization. There's been several strikes in Quebec. So apart from that, I think one of the things that could be exportable to Ontario, if you want, if I can speak like that, is the idea that you have to have a movement that's democratic. A lot of the work in the Quebec student movement at the beginning of the mobilization really began by having general assemblies. General assemblies are basically, you might call them sometimes a general meeting members or member meeting. And it's basically a place where students gather and, sometimes talk about bureaucratic decisions and everything. But a lot in during the strike and before that, of course, students talked about political issues. And so they decided in their general assemblies to oppose tuition hike, to have a protest on that day, and then to go on strike. So, and it's because the students feel that they have a say in how the things are going, what the organization are saying, how they are saying it, what they are doing. I think it's really basically empowerment. Students feel that their voice in their general assemblies can make a difference and can be effective in their everyday life. So by having those general assemblies, you can really have people that we are more willing to go in the street, to go on strike, and to really take a firm stance against tuition hike or whatever the issue is.
I don't know what your experience is in Ontario, but do you think that that's something that's transferable here?
I think it is. I think it is going to take time and work a lot of. Also, maybe one of the key factor for why the strike was so wide and so strong is because a lot of people put a lot of work into it. This campaign has been, planned in 2 years ago when the Liberals announced the tuition hike in 2010. We at ASTE were pretty sure that only a strike could cancel the tuition hike. And so we started working on the campaign of opposing tuition hike and government strike in 2010, during the summer of 2010. And a lot of people, it's basically, we didn't reinvent the wheel. It's really basic groundwork. It's going into the classrooms, going to the cafeterias and talking to people, passing, handing out flyers, and really doing classroom announcements, all that stuff. That's basically what we did during 2 years or 1 year and a half. And then eventually people got interested and went into their general assemblies, went to the protest, and went on strike. So hardworking and general assemblies, I think, are some stuff that could be applicable to the Ontario the Ontario situation, but I really think it's also up to the Ontario students to decide what are the issues that matter to them and how they want to organize.
Hugo, we asked you to choose some songs, and wondering which one you'd like to listen to first, and maybe you could introduce it for us.
Yeah, sure. Well, we could start with Kenny Arcana, La Rage du Peuple. Which is a bit old. I think it's a 2007 or 2008 song, but it really started to play a demonstration at the beginning, actually, of the movement in 2010, which is basically Kenny Arcana is a rapper, hip hop artist from France. She was born in Argentina and now lives in France. She's from Marseille, and the song's about rage. Revolting against oppressions and basically kind of mobilizing and what we did in the spring in this spring. La, 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 la.
fait baver. Demande à Fab la vie claque comme nos semelles sur les pavés. La rage de voir nos putains de travées, de vivre en travers. La rage gravée, puis bien loin en arrière. La rage d'avoir grandi trop vite quand des adultes volent ton enfant. Pas imagine un mur et aboli la rage. Car impossible et cette paix t'en voulu. La rage de voir autant de CRS armés dans nos rues. La rage de voir ce putain de monde s'autodétruire. Et que ce soit toujours des innocents au centre des tirs. La rage, car c'est l'homme qui a créé chaque mur. Ces barricades et béton, aurait-il peur de la nature. La rage, car il a oublié qu'il en faisait partie. Des harmonies profondes, mais dans quel monde la colombe est partie. La rage, d'être autant balafré par les piquants des normes. Et puis la rage, ouais la rage, d'avoir la rage depuis qu'on est mort.
La rage,
on restera debout quoi qu'il arrive.
La rage,
d'aller jusqu'au bout et là on veut bien nous mener la vie.
Parce qu'on a la rage,
on pourra plus taire ni s'asseoir. Dorénavant on tiendra prêt, parce qu'on a la rage, le cœur.
Parce qu'on a la rage,
debout quoi qu'il arrive. J'allais jusqu'au bout et là on veut bien nous mener la vie.
Parce qu'on a la rage,
rien ne pourra plus nous arrêter. Insoumis, sage, marginal, humaniste ou révolté.
La rage,
parce qu'on choisit rien et qu'on subit tout le temps. Et vu que leurs choix sont bancales, et ben tout équilibre fout le camp. La rage, car l'irréparable s'entasse depuis un bout de temps.
La rage,
car qu'est-ce qu'on attend pour se mettre debout et foutre le bouc.
La rage,
c'est tout ce qui nous laisse,
façon,
tout ce qui nous reste.
La rage,
car combien des notes finiront par retourner leurs fesses.
La rage,
de vivre et de vivre l'instant présent, de choisir son futur libre et sans leur cri d'oppression.
La rage,
car c'est la merde. Dès que ce monde y adhère, et parce que tous leurs chats OGM stérilisent la terre.
La rage pour qu'un jour l'engrenage soit brisé.
La rage car trop lisse vérité sur leur écran télévisé.
La rage car ce monde ne nous correspond pas. Nous nourrissent de vos rêves pour placer leur rempart.
La rage car ce monde ne nous correspond pas. Où Babylone s'engraisse pendant qu'on crève en bas.
On
restera debout quoi qu'il arrive.
La rage,
j'allais jusqu'au bout et là on veut bien nous mener la vie.
Parce qu'on a la rage,
on pourra plus taire ni s'asseoir. Dorénavant on tiendra prêt parce qu'on a la rage, le cœur.
Parce qu'on a la rage,
debout quoi qu'il arrive.
La rage,
j'allais jusqu'au bout et là on veut bien nous mener la vie.
Parce qu'on a la rage,
rien ne pourra plus nous arrêter. Insoumis, sage, marginal, humaniste ou révolté.
La rage,
d'y croire et de faire en sorte que ça bouge.
La rage,
d'un Chirac, d'un Sharon, d'un Tony Blair ou d'un Bush.
La rage,
car ce monde voit rouge, mais de cris aille s'entourer. Parce qu'ils n'entendent jamais les cris lorsque le sang coule.
La rage,
car c'est le pire que nous frôlons.
La rage,
car l'Occident n'a toujours pas ôté sa tenue de colon.
La rage,
car le mal tape sans cesse trop. Et que ne sont plus mises au bout du jour. Tant de grands savoirs ancestraux.
La rage,
trop de mensonges et de secrets gardés. L'élite de nos états riche de vérité pouvant changer l'humanité.
La rage,
car ils ne veulent pas que ça change. Ils préfèrent garder leur pouvoir et nous manipuler comme leurs anges.
La rage,
car on prend aux anges et qu'on a choisi de marcher avec eux. La rage, parce que mes propos dérangent. Faut aux quatre coins du globe.
La rage du feu,
l'ébullition. La rage, ouais la rage, ou l'essence de la révolution.
La rage,
on restera debout quoi qu'il arrive.
La rage,
j'allais jusqu'au bout et là on veut bien nous mener la vie.
Parce qu'on a la rage,
on pourra plus taire ni s'asseoir. Dorénavant on tiendra prêt parce qu'on a la rage, le cœur.
Parce qu'on a la rage,
on restera debout quoi qu'il arrive.
La rage,
j'allais jusqu'au bout et là on veut bien nous mener la vie.
Parce qu'on a la rage,
rien ne pourra plus nous arrêter. Insoumis, sage, marginal, humaniste ou révolté.
Parce qu'on a la rage,
on restera debout quoi qu'il arrive.
La rage,
j'allais jusqu'au bout et là on veut bien nous mener la vie.
Parce qu'on a la rage,
on pourra plus taire ni s'asseoir. Dorénavant on tiendra prêt parce qu'on a la rage, le cœur.
Parce qu'on a la rage,
quoi qu'il arrive, j'allais jusqu'au bout et là on veut bien nous mener la vie.
La rage,
rien ne pourra plus nous arrêter. Insoumis, sage, marginal, humaniste ou révolté. Anticapitalisme, altermondialisme, ou toi qui cherches la vérité sur ce monde. La résistance de demain, à la veille d'une révolution.
Mondialisme spirituel,
rage du peuple, rage du peuple.
Arabie, Adalboué,
Adalboué. Parce qu'on a la rage, elle qui fera trembler tes normes. Parce qu'on a la rage, elle suit la populace et la rage est énorme.
So welcome back to After the Collapse on Radio Regent. I'm Louis Moroni, and Jim Vernon and I are here talking to Hugo Bonnet from CLASS, one of the three main student unions in Quebec. You really did manage to grow really dedicated students to the movement, and then it became infectious, and it went beyond students and really became a Quebec movement. Were you surprised by that? And how do you think that happened?
Yes, I was. Well, I was personally surprised, and I think we were. A lot of people were surprised. I'm a pessimistic, so I at the beginning I didn't think that people would even go on strike. So when people actually got on strike and that. Thousands of people got on strike, I was really surprised. And then when it was, you know, the biggest demonstration we ever saw in Quebec, I was even more surprised. I think there's several explanation to why the movement got so big. One of them, I think, is basically the context, the fact that the liberals were in power in the last 9 years. There was a lot of scandals, of corruption. So a lot of people were just basically fed up with the liberals. And that's one of the reasons, I think, why, well, some students went on strike, and also why after where the movement got bigger and became kind of a social issue. I think the other thing is the fact, as I said, the general assemblies and the work, and the, if you want, the, all that culture of the student movement that is present in Quebec. And maybe the last point is also the fact that there's more, if you want, a global resistance movement across the globes in the last years. And it's really, I don't think we were something really new and unexpected. I mean, if you look at there's been some comparison. I think we can have some criticism on it. But if we look at the Arab Spring or the Occupy movement, or before that, the Alter Mondialist movement in Quebec and across the globe, there's been really, if you want to, a global resistance. And a lot of people, especially I think in the students, felt that we're heading towards a crisis, an ecological crisis, economic crisis, social crisis, and they needed to make their self heard and to say basically we should stop that.
Yeah, just to ask, because it's interesting, given that many of those same criteria apply here in Ontario. We have an equally corrupt premier with launching an equally corrupt assault on higher education, and his response to, say, the teachers' union to the TA strike at York from 2 years ago have generally been met with applause with re-election, the same issues of corruption with Orange and the same Occupy movement in Toronto, which was shut down by Ford. And so there's a similar set of criteria. In the wake of last night's election, I'm wondering if a certain amount can be credited to something unique in Quebec nationalism, or does the minority victory last night, does it signify a siding with the movement, especially since she's vowed to repeal the tuition hikes?
I'm not really sure how much the nationalist movement played a part in the student strike and in the Maple Spring or the social struggle. I think it's really a complicated question. I just want to say, maybe to clear things up, we at CLASS, we have a firm stance on independence from political parties and from where we don't have a stance on nationalism or federalism. But I think for a lot of people in the general assemblies, for example, when they decided to go on strike, the fact that education has been seen as a tool for a lot of French francophones in Quebec, and especially that low tuition and universities and CEGEP are the results of the Quiet Revolution. I think for a lot of people, there is a pride, patriotic pride or nationalist pride in having low tuition and having higher tuition, having higher education more accessible. But at the same time, I think the Students Association, Student Union, really framed it more in a social way and in the issue of redistribution of wealth and of who should actually, what is education first, what should it be, and who should pay for it. Is it the individual or society? And so it's hard to say that, and at the same time, I think from what I'm getting, now that I'm moving to Toronto, for a lot of Anglophone media, and especially in the rest of Canada, the election of PQ means separatism, or is strongly associated with separatism. But I think for a lot of people in Quebec and for a lot of students in Quebec, separate independence or nationalism is not really the issue. And it was more the idea that the PQ was a more social program than the liberal, slightly more social than the liberals. And that's maybe why they voted for it. And I think there's also a lot of voting against. The people, students were really tired of the liberal and wanted basically to have somebody else. So maybe that's why they voted for PQ, but I don't think they voted for independence when they voted for PQ.
I'm actually really curious to hear your perspective or some of your experiences being in those protests. The energy, I can imagine, must have been phenomenal, and with people from across all spectrums, what follows up from that in terms of, first of all, I really would like to hear some of what that experience was like, and then how that is translating now into maintaining that connection across those across the spectrum.
So about the demonstration. I think there was two types, if you want, of demonstration during the strike. The first one were the big ones that you know a lot of people saw in the pictures and heard about, which is at the beginning when the first one was in on the March 22nd, which was around it varies, but 150,000 to 200,000 students and just people in the streets. And that's when we really saw that it wasn't just students anymore. Before that, we had several demonstrations with tens and thousands of students. But on the March 22nd, we really saw a lot of people, a lot of older people, families. Everybody basically went in the streets. And that was really something, I think, for Quebec, because it was the largest demonstration since the one against the war in Iraq in 2003. And with that demonstration, we kind of got the sense that it was a larger issue than just the tuition hike, but also that, you know, at that time, people were still focused on the tuition hike. And then one of the most incredible moment of the strike is the May 22nd demonstration that happened, which was a couple of days after the infamous now Bill 78, which basically really restricted the right to protest. And what happened on the May 22nd is that hundreds of thousands of people gathered again, and now we had more. I think we had more. People were not students than students at the time because a lot of students were not working and busy doing other things. But anyway, all those people gathered, and we were walking down the road. And according to this new bill, Bill 78, we were supposed to give our route to the police, or we would suffer fines and whatnot. And what happened is that some people, some union, were scared of Bill 78, give a route to the police. And basically, we were walking down that road, and the route was supposed to go on the right and follow the itinerary given to the police. And we at class, we were leading the demonstration, and we basically went on the left. And hundred thousand people followed us, and which was kind of the biggest civil disobedience action, I think, in Quebec and maybe in Canada.
And that was on purpose. You actually knew the route that they had given.
Yeah, we knew that we were supposed to turn on the right if we wanted to respect the law, but we decided as an organization that this law was unjust, that we were calling to citizens to actually disobey it, and basically calling to civil disobedience. And so instead of turning right, as the police wanted us to, we turned on the left, and thousands of people, families, children, everybody turned on the left. Hmm. And I think that was really one of the most amazing moments of the strike, to see all those people were willing to defy, you know, to do something illegal, because they felt that we actually had more legitimacy than the liberals who enacted that law. So how about the types of the demonstrations to come back? So we had several other big demonstrations. like that, basically every 22nd of every month, now there's a demonstration with several tens of thousands of people. And we also had during the strike, especially in March and April, several economic disruption action. And so those were low, maybe, you know, 100, maybe 500 people, so less people. But we were really targeting political or economic institution. For example, the port of Montreal was blocked several times. There were blockades at the Ministry of Education, at the Hydro building, at the Ministry of Finance. And so the goal of those actions was to keep the mobilization going and remind the government that each time that it didn't cancel tuition hike, we would make him lose money basically by disrupting the normal way of life in Montreal and across Quebec. Mm-hmm. The other question was about how to keep the mobilization going. Is that it?
Not just within the student population, but building upon the support you got from the families and the unions and basically all of Quebec.
Well, I think it's going to be hard because now we're kind of I think that the mobilization is going to slow down in the following weeks and months. But we still need to stay awake because with the election of the PQ, they canceled tuition hike, but they still want to have a summit where they're going to propose that tuition will be adjusted to inflation. So we're still going to mobilize against this indexation and against this summit. But one thing I think how to keep the momentum between the student movement and other social movements, one way of that is that in Quebec we have this coalition which is called the Red End Coalition, the Coalition Against Tarification and Privatization. And it's basically a coalition of student union, but local unions, of feminist women's group, of community group. And this coalition was created in 2010. It was really a great way to create more links between the student movement and other social movements. So I think in the following weeks and months, we're going to try to continue to build those links and just basically go into neighborhoods or into to talk to local unions to see what are we doing from here? Where do we go from there?
Well, one thing that's interesting talking to you is that when we in mainstream media coverage of the Arab Spring and the Quebec Spring and other movements and Occupy as well, the focus has largely been on the influence of social media. And talking to you, I haven't heard you mention Facebook or Twitter once. And when you read articles or editorials, it's usually on how that's the main engine now and is the archetypal moment that makes these things happen. And so I wonder, talking to you, you talk mostly about face-to-face meetings and about leaflet handing out and sort of old-style 40s and 60s action. So I wonder if you could talk about the importance of that as opposed to what's sometimes called slacktivism and connect that possibly to what Klass calls combative syndicalism. Or building a combative syndicalism?
Okay, combative syndicalism is something different. I'm going to talk about it in a second.
Okay.
But to talk about Facebook mobilization, I think it's kind of a shock sentence that I like to say. It's basically the idea that, okay, Facebook, Twitter, those things are great in a way, but the thing that convinced people to go on to oppose tuition hike or to go on strike is really hours of talking and reading and that kind of stuff. People just don't make up their mind or don't do and choose to sacrifice a lot of their life, a lot of their semester just to Facebook. And basically the idea is that you don't put a campus on strike with Facebook or Twitter. You put it with blood, sweat, and tears, if you want to say it like that. So I think the social media played a role during the strike, if you want. A lot of people organized action and demonstration through Facebook. The nightly demos started through Facebook, and the Castrol movement was also started through Facebook. But the idea is that before that, all the work that was done before wasn't done on Facebook and or Twitter or whatever. It was really old style, as you call it, 40s and 60s. Activism, and basically it's what worked the most for us. But I think you need to find a balance, or you can use social media to mobilize. That's something useful, but it's not what it, I don't think it's the main. It shouldn't be at the core of your mobilization campaign. To talk about combative syndicalism or combative unionism, it's something that we at CLASS define as the idea that to win something, whether you're a local union against your employer or a student union, a local student union against the administration, or the Quebecois student union against the government, is the idea that it's through the mobilization of and the information and the mobilization of your members, and through the direct democracy that is at the core of your functioning, that you can actually have the leverage to force your opponent to accept, if you want, to go in the way, accept your decision or go in the way you want. For example, if let's say you have a local student union who wants, I don't know, have a student cafe, for example, and the administration oppose it, well, the idea is that you have an information campaign, you talk to the students, then you have your general assemblies, and the students take position in favor of having a student-run cafe. And then afterwards, you have this escalation of pressure to make to have the administration accept your decision. So you'll do a petition, and then you'll go bigger and try to occupy their office, for example, and then you'll stage a protest and everything. So that's the kind of stuff we do, and it's basically the idea that it's democracy, direct democracy, and direct action and mobilization are, if you want, the three pillars of combative unionism or syndicalism. People be constantly informed of what are the issue currently, you know, on their campus or in their union, in order for them to get involved and to change the situation.
What song should we play next?
I don't remember. Can you?
There
just
was remind- a, yeah, Motivé and En Lâche Rien.
Oh, okay. We can play Motivé de Zebda, which is a song. I think it's kind of old. I think it's from 98. It's actually old, protest song from the 60s, I think, in France. And it's basically Motivé means motivated, and it means we should keep on going. It's not the time to abandon. We really need to continue. And that's, I think, something a lot of people needed to hear during the several weeks of strike. A lot of people were sometimes depressed.
These songs, Motivé, the one we've already played and the one coming up, would these be played at the protests?
Yeah, in a lot of cases, they are the song we would put up on the speaker truck, and they would play during the protest sometime. Yeah.
Okay. All right, so here we are, Motivé.
Ouais, partisans, ouvriers, paysans. nos frères. La haine à nos trous, c'est la faim qui nous pousse la misère.
Back to After the Collapse. This is Louis Moroni and Jim Vernon talking to Hugo Bonnet, and you're listening to Radio Regent. And Hugo is with CLASS, one of the three main student unions in Quebec, and we've been talking about the protests that have happened over the last spring and summer, starting as a protest against tuition hikes. Growing into a province-wide movement.
Pushing ahead now, we're early hours after the provincial election, but the sort of immediate aftermath seems to suggest that the PQ is going to be introducing, either through cabinet decree or through legislation, dovetailing programs to what the mobilization was about, partially on top of the tuition hikes a bit, but also the possible repeal of Bill 78 and the repeal of the asbestos loan for the asbestos mine. I'm wondering, where do you see the movement going from here? What are the challenges in keeping a movement going when it achieves partial success? And what are the strategic goals in both the short and long term?
Okay, so to begin with, I think, as you said, the PQ are basically saying that they're going to cancel tuition hike. We're still going to wait for that to happen, but I think we can give them, we can take their word for that. But one thing also, so the PQ is canceling the tuition hike, but they are planning on holding a summit with students, with administration from the university, with teachers, and with the government in the next 100 days to talk about post-secondary education. And basically what Pauline Marois, the prime minister, has been saying is that they are going to propose to adjust the cost of tuition to inflation. So what we call in Quebec indexation. So we're at class opposed to this as well, because we're in favor of tuition freeze in the perspective of free education. So we're going to still mobilize people to let them know this summit is happening, that they need to get involved in order for it to go the way we want. We're probably, I think, going to organize a protest around the summit, and we're going to maybe go in it and defend the idea that we should freeze tuition and start a reflection, if you want, on free education in Quebec. If people are, and I think a lot of people are still willing to go that way, for a lot of people, the canceling, if you want, the tuition hike was the first step toward a more long-term goal, which is free education in university in Quebec. And we have other challenges as well. There's been a lot of cuts in the CEGEP program, in the CEGEP budget in the last year. We want that to be abolished as well, so we're going to mobilize students on that. And I think maybe more in the long term, we need to strengthen, if you want, the combative unionism side of the student movement, because I've talked about class, but there's other student union which are not as combative as we are, and sometimes which are really close to the PQ themselves. And so I think more on an organization ground, we will try to recreate, to, if you want, to continue with the class momentum to affiliate several union in Quebec to ASSE, in order for because we think that it's through having a combative national student union that we can actually, if you want, maintain access education accessible all the time, and it's through having a constant leverage with the government, whether it's the Liberals or the Parti Québécois. It's through that leverage that we can force them to make it, you know, to not privatize or not cut in education.
And having moved to Ontario now, how do you see the situation here? A vastly different battle between weaker forces and stronger forces?
Yeah, well, it's indeed a change, but I think there's a lot to be done in Ontario. I was on a tour this summer with other people from Quebec, and we went in several cities in Ontario, and there was, for the middle of the summer, several, sometimes maybe 100 of people. And so I was really surprised to see that a lot of people were actually willing to come out and hear about the student strike. But also a lot of people were asking questions of what can we do in Ontario. So I think there's a lot of people motivated, and that's basically all you need if you want to start something. After all, I think it's up to the students in Ontario to decide how they want to organize, what are the important issues for them. But I think really, especially with, you know, the Quebec students having now this kind of victory, if you want, on canceling the tuition hike, we can see that mobilization and direct action and direct democracy can actually win something. And that's maybe something that we need to remind ourselves, that is really through the social struggle that we actually built a lot of the social programs in Canada, in Ontario, and in Quebec. So it's through reminding us that by mobilizing ourselves, we can win something. I think that people will start to get the motivation and start to get involved and see how they can actually win.
Hugo, you've been obviously you've worked hard on this. You're in school. I imagine it takes up a lot of your time. How is what you are doing now going to inform what you do when you leave university?
It's a good question. I'm not sure exactly how it's going to. Maybe one thing is that a lot of what I learned personally in the student movement is really helpful for me, just basically concrete skill. For example, you know, by having general assemblies and by going and talking in public, you get more confidence in yourself and you're basically more able to speak to a larger crowd than in your classroom or whatever. So from that, I think that a lot of part of my BA in political science was going to my classes, but the other part was getting involved and actually learning concrete skill through mobilization. As for what I'm going to do after I graduate, when I'm finishing my master's degree, I'm not sure that the student movement is going to be one of the something I'll put on my resume and that's going to get me. That's not how it works, well, especially in Quebec. But I think that the concrete skills I acquired through the student movement can be useful in basically everyday life, and I see maybe in my professional future.
Okay, so maybe before we play your final song selection, maybe you can give our listeners some information on some resources they can turn to find information on both your activities and classes activities, as well as maybe if you know any comparable things in Ontario they can turn to.
Sure. Well, for class, we have a website in English which is called stopthehike.ca. On there's all our contact information. One thing, for example, I can maybe say before we finish is the fact that when I'm as a student from Quebec, when I'm walking in the streets in Toronto or in Ontario, seeing people wearing the red square is really encouraging, and it's really, if you want, something that got me going actually to last month when I just saw pictures from, you know, on Facebook, people from across the globe wearing the red square. So thank you for doing that, and if you are doing it, keep on doing it. Another thing also is the fact that we are actually So stopthehike.ca is our website. You'll find all the information you need on there. There's also a website called, I think it's Translating the Printemps Érable, on which you can find several information about the Printemps Érable and all that has been happening in the last month. And as for Ontario, I don't know really anything yet, so I'll let people decide by themselves where they want to get their information.
Excellent. So we'll post those links on our Facebook page. The last song that you had chosen was On Lâche Rien.
Yep. On Lâche Rien by HK and Les Saltimbanques. On Lâche Rien means we're not giving up anything. With the victory of the PQ on the election, I think it's a great song because it means basically that we need to keep ourselves mobilized and that we shouldn't just, you know, stop and say we won. Yes, we kind of won, but we need to watch them carefully and to stay informed, stay mobilized, and not give up anything.
Fond de ma cité HLM, jusque dans ta campagne profonde, notre réalité est la même, et partout la révolte gronde. Dans ce monde on n'avait pas notre place, on n'avait pas la gueule de l'emploi, on n'est pas né dans un palace, on n'avait pas la CBA papa. SDF chômeurs ouvriers, paysans immigrés sans papier, ils ont voulu nous diviser, faut dire qu'ils y sont arrivés. Tant que c'était chacun pour sa gueule, leur système pouvait prospérer. Mais fallait bien qu'un jour on se réveille et que les têtes se remettent à tomber. On lâche rien,
on lâche rien, on lâche rien, on lâche rien, on lâche rien, on lâche rien, on lâche rien, on lâche rien.
Ils nous parlaient d'égalité, et comme des cons les a crus. Démocratie fait-moi marrer, si c'était le cas on l'aurait su. Que pèse notre bulletin de vote face à la loi du marché? C'est con mes chers compatriotes, mais on s'est bien fait baiser. Et que pèsent les droits de l'homme face à la vente d'un Airbus? Au fond y'a qu'une seule règle en somme, se vendre plus pour vendre plus. La République se prostitue sur le trottoir des dictateurs. Leurs belles paroles on n'y croit plus, nos dirigeants sont des menteurs.
On lâche rien, 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 on lâche rien.
C'est tellement con, tellement banal, de parler de paix, de fraternité, quand des SDF crèvent sur la dalle, et qu'on mène la chasse aux sans-papiers, qu'on jette des miettes aux prolétaires, juste histoire de les calmer, qu'ils s'en prennent pas aux patrons millionnaires, trop précieux pour notre société. C'est fou comme ils sont protégés, tous nos riches et nos puissants, y'a pas à dire, ça peut aider, d'être l'ami du président. Chers camarades, chers électeurs, chers citoyens, consommateurs, le réveil a sonné, il est l'heure de remettre à zéro les compteurs. Tant qu'il y a de la lutte, il y a de l'espoir. Tant qu'il y a de la vie, il y a du combat. Tant qu'on se bat, c'est qu'on est debout. Tant qu'on est debout, on lâchera pas. La rage de vaincre coule dans nos veines. Maintenant tu sais pourquoi on se bat. Notre idéal, bien plus qu'un rêve. Un autre monde, on n'a pas le choix.
On lâche rien, on lâche rien, on lâche rien, on lâche rien. 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 On lâche rien, on lâche rien.
So welcome back to After the Collapse on Radio Regent. I'm Louis Moroni, and Jim Vernon and I are here talking to Hugo Bonnet from CLASS, one of the three main student unions in Quebec. Thanks so much for doing this.
Thank you very much. It was really interesting.